Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Big day on Tuesday. If you're a wine drinker, Tuesday is National Wine Day, and we thought we'd bring in the wine director at Coda de Volpe, which is just a fantastic restaurant owned by Billy Lawless and Ryan O'Donnell on Southport. It's Nancy Shopardonis is in studio with us. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Pete.
How does one become a wine director?
Just a lot of
drinking wine.
Drinking wine.
Yes.
Yep, and a plucky can-do attitude. That'll do it.
How do you like working for Ryan and Billy?
I love it.
Is it all yucks all the time?
Yes, it is a nonstop thrill ride and laughs. No, it's great. They're innovative and very supportive.
Good wine from bad wine. How can we tell the difference? Because a lot of people don't know. They don't know good wine from bad wine until the next day when they have a headache.
Ah, I see that. You know, it's interesting. I like to encourage people to drink what they like. I don't subscribe to that whole wine snobbery.
I like that. Yep.
So drink what you like. You know, sometimes you can tell by price point. Sometimes you can just start from the top, work your way through wine. I am a fan of European wines in general. I like old world wines. I think you're going to find a lot less of that feeling bad the next day with European wines.
Okay. Are those expensive?
No, there is a whole spectrum of really affordable, really great wines, especially in southern Italy, where Coda de Volpe focuses their wine attention.
I love that. What's a sweet spot for a price point? Is it around $15 you can get a good bottle of wine?
Yeah, you can get great bottles of wine for around $15 to $25,
okay.
I would say. Absolutely.
Remember Two Buck Chuck when that came out years ago?
Yes.
How bad was that?
That was
at Trader Joe's, right?
Oh, yeah. Trader Joe's has kind of cornered the market for really affordable wines, but they have great buying power, and they can actually feature some really great stuff. But the Two Buck Chuck, that'll probably feel it in the morning.
Well, it was so big that 60 Minutes, I remember seeing it on 60 Minutes, and my wife's like, we're not going to try that. My wife is a wine snob.
Oh.
I'm like you mentioned, if it tastes good to me, that's fine. Yeah. But it's got to be more than a $10 bottle because you know that it's not going to leave a hangover.
Yeah.
You're hoping.
Well, I guess it depends on how much you drink, Pete.
Right. I love it. You brought in these humongous glasses, these wine glasses. Does that really make a difference?
It does. So these are enormous. I'm sorry that the listeners can't see them, but just know that I'm trying to keep it nice because I'm going to take it home and put my betta fish in it.
Wow. They are enormous.
They are. They're really large glasses. But they really help the wine open up. I always call them
12 inches. This is a foot.
Yeah.
Seriously.
They are.
This is a 12-inch tall wine glass, which could probably hold what?
It could probably hold almost a whole bottle. But if you put a whole bottle in there, you could say you only had one glass of wine.
Does it need to breathe? Is that why we have such big glasses nowadays?
You know, the wine has been in that bottle not exposed to air for so long. It's good to get it out, get all those volatile components swirled, and all the fragrances just jump out of the glass. It's a better way to get what you're paying for.
We've all been to dinners where the waiter or waitress walks over and you have to test the wine. So tell me exactly what to do and what I'm doing wrong and right.
This is such a great question. Thank you for asking.
Because I'm always the most outspoken, the waiter or waitress always comes over to me and I test the wine.
Okay. First things first, the waiter or the server should, or the sommelier should be having the person who ordered the wine taste the wine.
Okay.
And they present the label. You want to make sure you're getting what you ordered. You don't want an embarrassing error happening, and then later you're paying for a $300 bottle that you didn't order.
Right.
So you want to check the label. That's what that's for. You can put your hand on the bottle like so to check the temperature of the bottle.
Okay.
Because you want to make sure it's at the correct serving temperature, which is a little cooler than room temperature. And then we'll open the bottle for you. And the first line of defense against a flawed bottle or a bottle you shouldn't be drinking is the server. And they're going to smell the bottle just like that. Put it up to their nose and smell it, because you can smell the flaws right away if you're trained to.
Okay.
And in theory, you should never have to taste a bad wine because we'll catch it first. And then we'll pour it, and you taste it just to make sure it's up to your standard, not necessarily to make sure you like it.
Do you swish it around?
Do you shake the glass?
Do you swirl it?
Yeah, swirl it first. Once again, aerate it, and then and then smell it. And you're looking for a flawed aroma, and that would be most commonly wet cardboard or wet dog. And that is
if you order a bottle of wine and it smells like your wet dog and tastes like your wet dog and cardboard, send it back.
Well, let me tell you something. If you smell wet dog, you shouldn't taste it. Don't taste it. Just, you know what? Dodge that bullet and we'll get you another bottle.
That is so funny.
And it doesn't mean the next bottle will be flawed. It just happens. It's from this thing called TCA.
What is it with the cork? Because they always present the cork and put it in front of you, too. Is there something that we need to look at the cork or just...
Sure. You want to make sure the cork is in good condition and not crumbly. Of course, that happens with older bottles.
Okay, so that's what we're looking for.
But if it's a young wine, the cork should be firm and not crumbling. If a lot of people smell the cork. Mm-hmm. Can't really tell much by smelling the cork. I always say that's like smelling a sock to diagnose a broken toe. I don't smell the cork personally.
I like that you brought the comedy, too, as the wine director at Côte de Volpe.
Thank you.
Nancy Shapardonis is here. Are you Greek with the last name?
That's right.
Of course you are. Yes.
Absolutely.
Curtis, are you ready to sample some wine?
Absolutely.
All right. Come on in the studio. Come on in. And we're going to sample what the... by the way, the new thing is now the stemless glasses. When did that happen? About 5, 6, 10 years ago?
Have you ever watched The Godfather, though?
Yes.
They drink out of stemless glasses.
It's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah. The stemless glasses, the Sicilians. I shouldn't base my glassware wine knowledge on Coppola.
But it's not usually rounded. It's that small little glass when you go to an authentic Italian restaurant, right?
Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, they're stemless.
Right.
I think the most important thing is the bowl that you're able to aerate the wine. Okay. And you don't want to be holding a stemless glass too much because it's going to change the temperature of the wine. Mm-hmm. So the stem is there to maintain the proper temperature of the wine. You should be holding, should it, could it. I'm not going to tell you how to drink your wine, but it's
but
best.
You don't want to heat it up. You hold it by the stem.
It's best to hold it by the stem.
Okay. Good to know.
Absolutely.
Got it. Curtis is now in studio. Are you a little nervous? Are you a red wine drinker or a white wine?
You know what? I've had very, very little wine taste. I'm more of a beer person.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to a bunch of different like local breweries and stuff. But I've had like some red wine, some white wine from Italian restaurants and stuff like that when you have family dinners and whatnot.
Nancy, rosé is the hot new thing. Well, it's, you know,
rosé
for the last
great.
5 years. Where did it come from? Why all of a sudden did it pop on the scene 5 years ago?
Well, it's been around a really long time.
I know, but now it's very popular. Is it because, who was it? Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt came out with that one rosé that became very popular.
That is true. That may have been part of it. But really, I think the popularity is due to people's growing notion of thoughtful drinking. You want to enjoy what you're drinking, you want to appreciate what you're drinking, and rosé has a lot to offer.
Okay.
It's kind of a hybrid between a red and a white. It's great for pairing. Yeah, it kind of runs the gamut of flavor profiles. So.
Okay. Is it a no-no to put ice in your red wine?
Again, I'm not going to tell you how to drink your wine. I'm not the wine police.
Do not judge. My brother Ed puts ice in his red wine.
I'm not the wine police.
That's his thing.
A lot of people like to do it. I wouldn't do it because if I'm paying for something, I don't want to dilute it.
Okay.
And if it's the way the winemaker, they're artists, these winemakers.
Sure.
And if it's the way they feel it should be expressed, I'd hate to tinker with it.
Okay.
But you like what you like. I support that.
All right. So what wine are we, this red wine we're going to be sampling right now?
Right now we're on white.
White. Oh, okay.
Right now we're on white. And this is our Côte de Volpe. Côte de Volpe means tail of the fox. The reason it's called tail of the fox is because the grape bunch looks like a foxtail.
It smells fruity.
Yes, it does smell fruity. You can never lose when you say a wine smells fruity because somewhere along the line, it's going to smell fruity.
Here's the problem with Chardonnay. I can drink it like water.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So you know what you like. This is the Terradora di Paolo. That is the producer. This is from Campania.
Wow, is this great?
Is it great? It's
really
so good.
It's very light. It's like a summer Chardonnay.
Oh, yeah. This is, it's a really crisp white wine, but it also offers some good body. Really great floral notes. I don't know if you guys smell that honeysuckle.
There's
Absolutely. Some orchard fruit like mm-hmm. apples and pears.
I got to be careful. I'm on Fox tonight doing a 10 o'clock show with Lou. Wow, this is wonderful.
It's a really great companion variety. It is our namesake wine.
This tastes like spring or summer to me.
Summer in a glass?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's great for this time of year. It's like time travel.
So white wine usually with fish. Can you drink white with any type of meats, Chardonnay?
You know what? Pairing is subjective, really, but you can have white wine with fish and lighter proteins. You know, food impacts wine more than wine impacts food. If you had an enormous steak, really hearty, it would probably just mask, you know, like paper right. covers rock. It yep. would just beat down the delicacy of a white wine.
Right. Got it. And what was the name of this white wine?
This is called Cota di Volpe.
Cota di Volpe.
This is the grape.
Like and, the restaurant.
Yep, absolutely. And the producer, Tiradora.
Okay, yep. What's next?
Next, I am sharing a frappato. So this.
Can you say that on the radio? Okay.
So frappato is kind of the underdog of Sicily. It's, well, as compared to a Nera d'Avola, without getting too geeky, but... I will root for the underdog. So,
this is a red.
This is a red. It's okay. a light red. It's really.
Thank you.
It's really. This one in particular is so expressive of bergamot and raspberries. A little.
Oh, yeah,
herbal.
I smell the raspberries.
Wow. Yeah. Another fruity.
It is. It's fruity and light. And if you're talking pairing.
Wow, is this light? This is a very light red.
It is, yeah. I brought it because I wanted to talk about pairing
is this
across
a Pinot?
The board. See, excellent observation. It is not a Pinot, but it drinks like a Pinot.
It does.
It drinks like a Pinot. So therefore, it's great for pairing. And it's a little known varietal, but you can still find it in retail. It's okay. called, once again, Frappato, and the producer here is Nicosia. And it's great for pairing across the board, start to finish. Maybe your heaviest proteins would have trouble with it, but it'll take you through seafood and like chicken and pastas.
I can eat this. I mean, I can drink this with steak, right? It's
you
a red
could.
Wine.
You could. You might enjoy something a little bigger, which I have coming down the line here with a steak because of the relationship between fats and tannins. But that's getting very scientific.
Let me take a break, and I'm going to ask you about the different regions. What, Italy, Argentina, you got the Oregon wines,
that's
you
right.
have the Maine wines, and we'll talk a little bit about that too, okay?
Excellent.
Tuesday is National Wine Day. In studio with us, Nancy Shepardonis. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You are almost there. Shepardonis.
Shepardonis. Shepardonis, the wine director at Cota di Volpe, a restaurant on Southport. It's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Tuesday is National Wine Day. We have the wine director from Cota di Volpe, a restaurant on Southport. Right in, is it Lincoln Park or Wrigleyville? Or kind of split in between, Nancy?
It is Southport Corridor.
Southport Corridor.
Which is right.
I've been to Cota a million times, and I'm thinking, okay, it's near, you know, you're two blocks from Wrigley.
So it is. It's
you're
basically
in Lincoln Park, but Southport Corridor. Yes. So you're at, is it Roscoe? Southport and Roscoe?
Henderson. Southport and Henderson.
Okay.
3335 North Southport.
Nancy Shepardonis. Shepardonis.
Yes.
I got it.
Nailed
okay.
it.
We're talking wines. Tell me about the regions. Tell me what's the difference between or... the taste from an Italian wine or a wine from Oregon or a wine from out east.
All right. So what you're describing, there are two real camps, and that is Old World and New World. Old World would be Europe. It would be the old guard of winemaking. And that generally will be a little less fruit. And this is, I'm painting with a broad brush, but a little less fruit expression and a little more earth.
Okay.
And maybe a little more restraint in oak usage. And then you'll find in the New World, the U.S., just what we know as our domestic wines and, of
right.
course, South America, Australia, you will find maybe a little more oak usage, maybe riper fruit, maybe a little less earth. But those lines are being blurred every day as people change winemaking styles.
Right. Like you mentioned before in the first segment, there's really no bad answer. It depends. Whatever wine you like, just go with.
Oh, my gosh. I could not agree more. Yeah.
There's a lot of wine snobs out there that make you feel bad about your choice of wine. They really do.
Yeah, it's not cool.
I'll never drink that. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm drinking it. You don't have to drink it.
Yeah. That's not what we do at Côte de Volpe. It's not what most of my peers do.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Do we have another one we're going to sample?
Yes, absolutely. This is the Pala Cananao.
Okay.
This is from Sardinia. So very hot there.
Oh, yeah.
It's good, right?
Yeah, you could smell
very big bouquet.
Mm-hmm. It jumps right out of the glass.
It sure does.
It is a Reserva. This is Cananao, which is also known as Grenache or Garnacha.
A little heavier.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of moving through the scale.
Right. I can taste that.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, though.
Yeah, spice.
Mm-hmm.
Deep, like the fruit has a little more jam note to it. Lots of black cherry.
Now, Curtis, we're both hillbillies. What do you think so far?
I like them all, to be honest. But that might just be because, like I said, I'm not a big wine drinker, but I'm slowly getting more accustomed into it. But I was going to say, if you're going to start for a young millennial like myself, if you're going to start collecting wine, where's a good place to start? Do you start with a heavier red? Do you kind of start off on the lighter side and then work your way up to determine what you like? Where do you start when you want to start collecting and eventually kind of build your tastes?
Well, if you're starting to learn about wine, forget collecting, I would say. This is my job, and I rarely cellar things. I think wine is meant, in general, most wine is meant to be enjoyed early and soon. And take advantage of that. Like, a great place to start is France, but maybe, you know, often people are kind of priced out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say Italy, and I know that that's the horse I have in the race because I love Italian wines.
Right.
But Italy is a great place to start. You're going to find a lot of affordable wines and a lot of benchmarks, a lot of wines that kind of set the tone for the styles.
Is there anything that stands out when you go to a grocery store that's a good price point between $15 and $25? A red? If you don't have anything, it's okay.
I promise you I'm not a wine snob, but I don't know many grocery store brands. I would say...
And to answer Curtis's question, when we have people over, I always have a Pinot Noir because it's a lighter red and you don't know if people like the light red or the heavy red.
Yep.
So I figure you can't go wrong with a light red because the heavy drinkers are going to enjoy it.
That's like the golden retriever of wines. Everybody loves it and it loves everybody. Like Pinot Noir is an excellent choice as a crowd pleaser.
Right.
Yeah. Good instincts.
Okay. And what was that, the heavier wine? Was that a cab? What kind of wine was that?
So this is not too heavy because I've got the big kahuna coming up, the Barolo. But this is, I'd say, medium plus.
Okay.
It can be made in a lighter style, but this one in particular.
Can we try the heavy one
before
we run out of time?
Of course.
So what is this called?
This is Barolo. This is from Piedmont in northern Italy. This is our special Côte de Volpe barrel selection.
Oh, boy. In the big glass, too.
It's in the big glass. Produced by Ettore Germano.
That is a heavy wine. You can smell it. I'm ready to take a nap after I take a sip of this.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely tell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lighter in color than the one we just tried, but it packs a wallop. So don't let the color deceive
very
you.
Flavorful. It's not that heavy when you take a drink of it.
It has a good grip. If you swirl it around your mouth and you feel the way your front lip sticks to your teeth, that's where you're going to feel tannin. That fancy wine word that you always hear people talk about. Tannin is that grip, and that's what pairs so great with those big steaks we were talking about.
I love taking a bite of steak and then drinking a little red wine and swishing it in my mouth together. I've always loved that.
Well, good instincts, because that's the relationship between food and wine. Tannin, that drying effect,
right,
pairs so beautifully with fats, and the molecules actually bond. And so there's a little chemistry project happening in your mouth then, and it's very satisfying.
It's so good. It's so good. And by the way, you brought a cooking wine in here that people can actually drink. What is that called?
Well, this is it is not, it is Marsala, but this Marsala in particular is not a cooking wine.
You don't have to open it because we don't have enough time, but okay. Tell me about this.
So this is the Marco di Bartoli Marsala, and Marsala has kind of fallen out of popularity and everybody thinks of it as a cooking wine, but it is liquid gold. It is one of the best one of the best wines out of Sicily. A little higher alcohol content, aged in a Solera system, meaning year after year it's fractionally blended with the year before. Highly complex. Just wonderful.
God, you are so smart. Oh. I want your cell phone number so I can text you when I need a good red when my wife's having people over.
Well, your Pinot Noir is spot on.
Nancy Shepardanis, she's the wine director at Coda di Volpi. National Wine Day is Tuesday. Say hello to Ryan and Billy for me. Thank you for coming in.
You're very welcome.
It's
thanks
great
for
to
having
see you.
Me.
Quick break, and we'll check news top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. More of the show next at 720 WGN.